Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, those in the know will spot that as the theme tune from Love Island and may well identify our next guest, Dr. Alex George, a former contestant on that show. With his new book, Am I Normal? Alex is looking to dismantle the pressure we all feel to fit in by revealing his own exhausting battle with undiagnosed ADHD and OCD. Alex, on the surface, at least, you have lived a life less ordinary.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I kind of followed the kind of path less trodden, if you like. I've known and gone to university, my immediate family, but I liked this kind of idea or dream of being a doctor, and that took me there. And then I guess, you know, an opportunity came up to go on a television show. I was asked to do it, and I told my consultant at work, and I told him as a joke, really, and they said, "Oh, that's interesting. Well, I've got a Love Island water bottle here." And next thing you know, they were pushing me to go to the interview. And then you're on the show. So, yeah, my life has taken a lot of turns in different directions. And I guess I've been kind of questioning this idea of, like, what is normal and am I normal, I guess, which is why, yeah, I've come to write this book. As a doctor, you look at people being healthy, of being absent of disease, of friction, I guess. Whereas I guess I have been looking at this and questioning what is normal, how much is me and how much is the world. And a good question people would say is, what does it matter if you're normal or not? And I think that normality only really comes into question in areas it causes friction. Because if you love collecting Pokemon cards, for example, if that's not causing anyone any problems, well, it doesn't matter if you have more than or a higher than normal interest in Pokemon cards. But if you're someone that's incredibly sensitive and has rejection sensitivity to the point where they can't apply for jobs, they can't work, they can't maintain friendship groups, or you have an inability to concentrate where you can't maintain a job or stay in a job, for example, these kind of normalities are then suddenly very important. And I guess this is where the lens comes from. And I suspect most people, you know, listening will have asked themselves that question, am I normal, at some point in their lives, not necessarily through the lens of neurodivergence, through ADHD, which is how I've written this book. But I'm sure they'll have asked it in many ways. And I hope this book relates to everyone for that reason, because do you know what? The kind of spoiler alert is there are some things that will be you and you've got to work on, but there's quite a lot of things that are the world. Things that we think are normal are not actually normal, or perhaps they're not actually good for us. And some parts that we think are normal in life actually make us sick.
You found, though, that your abnormal brain, if I, and again, I'm doing little rabbit ears here, was actually an asset in the chaos of an A&E ward. How is that?
Yeah, so what's really interesting about ADHD, for example, so it's better thought of a dysregulation disorder where there's a dopamine deficit. So dopamine is our reward hormone, and we have less dopamine in the part of the brain that controls executive functioning and manages attention, for example, as one of the many things that it controls. In some settings, that's pretty not useful. Sat in an office 9 to 5 is probably not very helpful for me, the way my brain's built. But take me in to put me into a kind of hunter-gathering style department of an A&E department, where you're kind of running around looking after one patient, it's high adrenaline to the next. That high dopamine environment brings, you know, I guess, my skill set into play. And that's what's really interesting. For a lot of people, what makes you different is often only a problem if it's in the wrong place. So I really struggled with the education system. I nearly, I literally lost my way so many times and very nearly didn't get to med school because of it, got pulled out of class constantly, for example, because of my attention and the way that I kind of my brain worked, but put me in an A&E department. And I was a really good A&E doctor because I was able to lock in.
It was like your superpower in that environment.
I'd say so. I think I don't quite subscribe to saying ADHD or autism are just, you know, pure superpowers. There's certainly ways in which they can be incredibly strong in the right environment. But, you know, then there are certainly parts that are really difficult with these things. But I do agree that if you use sometimes your weakness has become your greatest strength. For example, when I was growing up, I was bullied a lot for being sensitive. I think my insensitivity, I'm abnormal. I have huge rejection sensitivity. I'm incredibly a sensitive person. And I used to really struggle and get picked on and bullied at school. But actually, my sensitivity as a doctor was incredibly important. And my empathy has been really important in my work as a mental health ambassador, for example, to channeling things like the grief that I felt into kind of from losing my brother to trying to kind of make a difference in this space. So sometimes your thing that you see that is your greatest weakness later on might be a great strength.
And I know that you mentioned there your grief at the loss of your brother. I mean, you write very movingly about that loss in your life and what it meant to you and your family. Tell me, was that what led you to seek out the diagnosis that you ultimately got?
I wrote Am I Normal through the lens of being questioned and being assessed for ADHD, and the chapter titles kind of go like, what was school like for you? Talk to me about your life with your family, friendships, alcohol, relationships, and kind of question those aspects of your life. And, you know, I came to that situation of literally asking the psychiatrist, am I normal? Because I'd ended up in a pit of pain. My brother died 5 years ago by suicide at the age of 19. I'm certain that he was neurodivergent, as is my other brother and my father. And he had a place at medical school and his life was cut short. And off the back of that, I did what was normal, which was to bury myself into work and work very hard and bury my grief using things like alcohol. And these are very normal things, by the way, in society. Society teaches us that's a normal way to deal with grief. And I ended up in terrible depression and pain. And that led me to question why it was I dealt with these things in this way, and ultimately meant that I was assessed and diagnosed with ADHD. And that diagnosis and that understanding has changed, and I would say saved my life. You know, I stopped drinking over 3 years ago. Another norm, which is utterly bizarre. You know, in the UK and in Ireland and many parts of the world, we just get auto-enrolled into drinking. It's not about saying that drinking is terrible. It's about recognizing that you kind of grow up, you're handed a beer, especially in Wales where I grew up, handed a beer, rugby watching family, you know, here's a beer, get on with it. And that is just normal. And you just automatically drink. And everything you do, whether you celebrate or commiserate, involves alcohol. And that is actually just not normal. And when I look at it and go, does alcohol serve me and does it help me? Is my life better with or without? I've opted out. And I can tell you, 3 years into sobriety, I'm pretty happy with my decision.
And alcohol isn't the only normal thing that's out there that is kind of lurking and affecting and impacting so many people that they may not even realise. I mean, you write about limbic capitalism and the impact that's having on so many of us. Could you just explain very briefly, yeah, Alex, what is limbic capitalism?
I think we all need to become aware of this because it's whether you were aware of it or not, it's happening to you and your family. Limbic capitalism is when organizations, businesses, groups use your emotions to make money. They make money off your sadness, off your anxiety, your insecurities, and your attention, you know, and social media companies are one example of that. Gambling companies, you know, we're seeing a decline in drinking alcohol and a massive increase in gambling amongst under 25-year-olds. Like, you know, there's huge issues where essentially companies are deliberately targeting these emotional centers of our brain to make money. I mean, look at social media. The average 25-year-old now spends 6 hours a day on their screens, on scrolling through social media. If you think you sleep for 8 hours, you're in school or work for 8 hours, you've got 8 hours left, that's 6 out of 8. So only 2 hours left to eat, shower, supposedly socialize, and all these kind of things. And this is happening because it makes money, and our attention, our emotions that we engage when we're using social media makes money for these businesses, and we have to wake up to it. You know, it's not that's not the only place. There's many other sectors, but ultimately that limbic capitalism is a huge factor at the moment.
And through this work you did on yourself, you step back and you could see that one of your addictions was to work, and on a lesser scale to social media. But both of those were also, as problematic as they were on one level, they were the basis of your success in the outside world.
Yeah, and if you look at social media, people say like, well, what do you think? Social media, is it good or bad? The truth is, it's a tool. And the answer is, it's how we use it that defines whether it's good or bad. It's how it's used against us or with us, and it's how we use it. I mean, how is it good? You know, when I was diagnosed with ADHD, the number one best support that I received was online through communities and social media. Same with alcohol-free living. I've got a YouTube channel. I post every Sunday a new alcohol-free video, advice for people quitting. And we've got an awesome community. You can jump in the comments and see the positivity and genuine inspiration that's in those comments, to see the positivity of social media. But equally, just as I've just said, on the opposite end of the scale, there's huge problems with it. So what we have to realize is social media is not going anywhere. We need to think about who's safe to be using it, and how should we use it to support our well-being? How do we use it to support our interests and our businesses without, kind of harming ourselves? And yeah, I mean, I love what I do. I love the mental health work. It gives me a great deal of purpose. Since my brother died, it's been what's kept me going, quite frankly. But equally, there's a balance. There's too much. And I think a lot of people work very, very hard to fill the hole in their life, which is something you've got to look at. Like, why am I doing this? What am I trying to avoid?
Finally, Alex, your decision to go on Love Island, was that any way related to your ADHD?
I guess it's hard to isolate something in specifics, but, you know, I'm someone who's lived, as I said, as we start this interview, a life, I guess, with a path less trodden is generally somehow how I've ended up. It sounds like I'm doing that in some kind of romanticised kind of a cinematic way, but it's actually just by accident. Some of these things, I'm very deliberate about many things in my life, but there's certainly things that have happened by impulse. And I guess probably I thought, well, you know, life is short, an opportunity is here. And yeah, it definitely changed my life. Is it ADHD? Maybe.
Would you recommend it?
There'd be so many caveats that there's probably no point saying it. I mean, it was an experience. And in many ways, I guess for me, I wouldn't have the platform that I've used, hopefully to use, do some good with. I mean, you know, I'm not perfect by any means, but I feel like there's some positive come out of it. But for many people, that's not the case. So 50-50, I guess.
Dr. Alex George, author of Am I Normal? Many thanks.